This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The Gaza Strip, ceasefire holding, is the report from the Middle East. But the ceasefire is not a resolution. What we know is the Hamas forces are said to be reorganizing at a much smaller rate than was true 2 years ago. At the same time, the IDF controls, or is said to control, more than 50% of the Gaza Strip. The part that is left is said to be in the hands of a contest between clans and anti-Hamas and pro-Hamas factions, and then Hamas itself, which I'm told reliably, as from the Atlantic magazine writer Ahmed Fuad El-Khatib, is about 5,000. The rest, the big number that the IDF uses for the Israeli newspaper, 20,000, consists of auxiliaries, chiefly teenagers or hangers-on. 5,000. And the leadership is not the best. The weapons are not the best. But it is defiant, and it's in less than half of the Gaza Strip. What is to be done? To allow the gunfighting to go on, or to intervene in some fashion where there's a vision of the future? The President of the United States has given Michael Walls, the ambassador to the United Nations, a plan, a victory plan, Trump plan, U.S. plan. The important detail the New York Times covers in the most recent coverage is that it's a take-it-or-leave-it plan. That would be consistent with the style of negotiation that Mr. Trump practiced in Manhattan development for many years. I don't know whether that is a make or break for the other participants as Sharm el-Sheikh. I don't know. But make or break, take it or leave it plan is not usually the end of a negotiation. I welcome Bill Raggio, the senior fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, and Ambassador Hossein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, to comment on what we know of the Trump take-it-or-leave-it plan as delivered by Michael Walls, the ambassador to the United Nations. It has three parts. A board of peace, which is to oversee the Gaza rebuilding and development and peace. The money, which is said to come from international financing, a loan program set up by, name the transnational organization, I imagine the IMF would be nominated, and then security. Three parts. We'll take it one at a time. Mr. Ambassador, very good evening to you. The Board of Peace to oversee Gaza at least until the end of 27. The Board of Peace is to be chaired by, well, I don't know who the final determination will be, but Tony Blair, former ambassador to a former prime minister of the Great Britain, is named by Mr. Trump at some point in these negotiations. It's also made up, it's said to be made up of participants from Gaza, from the region. You're thinking about a board of peace without involving ourselves in security right now. Is Gaza in a place that it could accept outside advice for what needs to be done? Good evening to you.
Good evening. If Gaza was amenable to outside advice, it would have heard that for the last many, many years, that it has been mired in poverty, pain, and war. I think that this is a kind of a fantasy which is easy to sell on television by a great salesman. Our president, Donald Trump, it doesn't take into account many ground realities. For example, the former head of Shin Bet and the former head of the Israeli Navy, Ami Ayalon, has a piece in The Economist in which he says the only way the Gaza peace plan will work is once Netanyahu is no longer in office. Similarly, Mr. Netanyahu would argue that the only way it will work is when Hamas ceases to exist. Neither is going to happen because somebody else says so. There are just too many moving parts, and I don't see any plan, serious plan, to disarm Hamas and who will replace them as the providers of security in the Gaza Strip. And then half of Gaza is still occupied by IDF. How can you have a plan for the other half without addressing the question of when does IDF leave? So it's going to be a chicken and egg problem. IDF will, or the Israelis will argue the IDF cannot leave till Hamas is disarmed. And Hamas will argue the IDF has to leave before they will even contemplate disarming.
You suggest a rejection by the Gaza Strip population. I don't know they're going to be called upon. You also suggest an image to me as you were presenting the possibilities of this turning into post-war Germany with occupied zones under different offices, French, British, Americans at that time. Yeah, I don't know what the list would be today. And that would go on for decades, Mr. Ambassador. Is that credible?
Germany was a country significantly larger than Gaza. Gaza is a very small strip. Gaza is very homogenous. And the people who are coming in are going to be extremely alien to the people of Gaza. For example, any multinational force that comprises Indonesians and Pakistanis and Turks, not that they will all be welcomed by the Israelis, none of them will speak Arabic. None of the Arabic-speaking countries are willing to contribute troops. So it's not going to be easy. And I think that this is one of many other things that are kind of... look, the world is a complicated place. There is a reason why it's a complicated place. So anybody who wants to oversimplify things will only come to grief. These will be fantasies like, it's a great salesman pitch that, I've brought peace to Gaza. And yes, ceasefire has come about, and that's a positive thing. But a permanent peace will require a lot more discussion, a lot more negotiation than a take it or leave it plan.
A Board of Peace, Bill, good evening to you. The quote is, a technocratic, apolitical committee of competent Palestinians from the strips. That reminds me of how we were going to make Afghanistan into a modern state. It didn't work out. Did we have a Board of Peace in Afghanistan? I don't remember, Bill. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. No, there was certainly no Board of Peace in Afghanistan. Ironically, the size and, as Hussein mentioned, the homogeny of Gaza, you would think, versus a country like Iraq or Afghanistan, where we've conducted occupations, you would think that it would be a lot simpler to deal with a small country with less than, with about 2 million people, or not country, but a small, landmass with about 2 million people that are very similar, would be far easier than in Iraq and Afghanistan. But that's going to prove to be far more difficult. In all of these three key points, John, the question is who's going to be on this Board of Peace? Who's going to comprise the security forces? Who's going to provide the money for this? As far as the board, the Board of Peace goes, how can Israel trust country? Like, if a country like Turkey or Qatar or both of these countries are on it, how can the Israelis trust them when they've been sponsoring Hamas? And then if a country like the United States, but then again, who really has supported Israel in all this other than the United States? So, and the U.S. does seem to be willing to accede to some of Hamas's demands. But to me, this all gets to the key issue. I get that, there's questions of whether there can be peace under Netanyahu or not, but I can guarantee you there will be no peace under Hamas. Hamas's charter states that Israel must be removed. This is a group that has attacked Israel on multiple occasions, with the last attack on October 7th being one that the Israelis could no longer count. And it could take rockets and mortars and balloons filled with gasoline and things like that and deal with it. But the Israelis cannot accept that on its border any longer. So how does this Board of Peace work? It's just too vague. It's great in theory. You have three key points here, but the devil's in the details. And I just see zero details. And even if there's details provided, just given the hatred between the Israelis and the Palestinians and after the aftermath of October 7th, it's going to be difficult to make any of this happen.
Bill Raj of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy, Hussein Haqqani of the Hudson Institute. When we come back, the capitals, how do they look upon this Board of Peace, this take-it-or-leave-it plan from the United States? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.